Hello, Malcolm here, and thanks for joining me today on our Tuesday Teaching Tip, episode 177. And today's topic is dominate your subject. Dominate your subject. Now, this Friday, I'm starting a new class series for the Thames Valley Churches of Christ. It's for younger speakers, people who are not so experienced and who are younger, at least younger than me, which is nearly everybody. And recently I posted some questions online, one of these videos, in fact, as well as elsewhere, asking people for suggestions. Questions, if you are a young and inexperienced speaker, what would you like to be instructed on? What would help you? But also for some of those of us who are a bit more experienced, what would you like to have known when you started out? What would be helpful for you? I posted that online and I'm very grateful to everybody who gave me some feedback. And I'd like to share with you one piece of feedback from Alberto Rioja, if I'm saying that right. I apologize, Alberto, if not. But he posted this on my YouTube channel. And let me read to you at least part of his feedback, and it's prompted the topic I want to talk about today. He says this, and I've edited it slightly because English isn't Alberto's first language. So he says, one tip I would give, prepare yourself as much as possible, dominate the subject, and let God use you. The preparation is not something for us to perform as robots or memorizing the lines, but for us to dominate the subject and be sharp tools for God to use us. Use bullet points and let God do his work with you. Thank you, Alberto, for those thoughts. Now, I like the phrase, a phrase I wasn't expecting to read. It was a little bit different. Dominate the subject. Dominate the subject. I wonder what you think he means by that. Is he advocating that we jettison our notes? Don't even bother with notes. Don't bring our notes. Don't even make notes. Is that what he's talking about? Someone once did suggest to me that the ultimate goal in preaching and teaching is to not have any notes. So let's think about this today in terms of what might be useful for us as we think about what it means to dominate the subject, which is quite a thought. Now, let's consider. Let's face it, Jesus didn't use notes. At least we don't see him doing that. And neither, as far as we can tell, did Paul or Barnabas or any of the first century speakers that we can see. So clearly notes aren't critical to being effective in our speaking. But then on the other hand, Paul and others did write letters which were designed to be read out in church and functioned effectively as lessons and teaching material, and they were written and carried to places and then read out. So we see that in Colossians 4 verse 16. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Or in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 27, I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. So they're being read out loud, and that, in fact, that is notes in a way, you could say. So I would suggest that the point is not to have notes or not, but to be in a position to not need them. To be so well prepared, you don't really need them. Now, that's going to take a bit of time, and it's going to take some experience before you're going to get to that point. So one of my cautions with my friend who said, I think the ultimate goal is to not need notes, that's the best kind of preaching. I would say it's not healthy to think about that's the best kind of preaching, because the best kind of preaching is just effective preaching, and that could be with notes or not with notes. And if we set it there as that's the standard, then all of us who aren't there yet are going to feel like we're failing and inadequate. So I'm not sure that's really the goal. The goal is to be effective, but what's Alberto really getting at here? I think what he's pointing out, and quite correctly, if I understand him or I understand you, Alberto, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that preaching and teaching is not about information transfer. It's not about information transfer. In other words, it's not from my head to your head, or not even perhaps from my heart to your heart. Instead, preaching and teaching is perhaps coming from my life to your life. It's coming from who I am, or at least who I now am, having prepared this lesson, to who you are, with the hope that the Word of God and its effect on me will have a similar effect or benefit to, on, and for you. The Bible, in a way, isn't actually a book. It's life. So we're communicating life when we talk, and that's why we must inhabit the message. It's why the message must have its effect on us first, before we can expect it through us to have an impact on other people, the people we're speaking to. Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. The word of life, the word that brings life, gives life, brings eternal life, powerful word. Now, as I've mentioned elsewhere in other recordings, those of us getting ready to preach a lesson, it's not so much that we're preparing a sermon as we're letting the sermon prepare us. The preacher doesn't prepare the sermon so much as the sermon prepares the preacher in that sense. So a speaker prepared by their message is prepared to deliver the message. Let me say that again. A speaker prepared by their message is prepared to deliver that message. So how do we get there? How do we get from the topic we've selected or been given and the text we've selected or been given to the point where we're prepared to deliver that message? Well, I have a few tips. What have I got? Seven for you today. Seven being the perfect number. However, I might have missed some. So if you think there are other things, then please add them to the list and leave a comment. But here are seven for you for now. Firstly, if you're going to be prepared by your message, you must decide on your text or your topic in advance. Well in advance. Not the day before, not 2 days before. I would suggest several days before at least. Perhaps a week, perhaps a month, but at least beforehand. Well beforehand. Long enough for the message of that text or subject to have its impact on you so that you can help it to have an impact on other people. So decide in advance what you're going to speak on. Secondly, start your preparation as early as possible. In other words, not the night before, not the day before, not even 2 days before, as early as possible. Of course, sometimes it's a last minute thing that happens, but I'm talking about ordinarily most lessons, most sermons, most times you get an opportunity to speak. Prepare well in advance. I would suggest at least a week. Something like that would be very helpful. Thirdly, read your text or study your topic in several different translations. More than one translation is important because we get different perspectives from different translators and the words put in a certain way and set in a certain way or different words used can help us to understand something that we might not otherwise understand fully. So give yourself time to read the passage or study the topic in different translations. Fourthly, read and use more than one commentary in your study of preparation. You may have a favorite, and that's totally fine, but look at least one other. I recommend try to have a look at three commentaries if you have time. And you might not be able to read all three in equal depth and detail, but at least read one in detail and the others perhaps skim to see what else you might have missed or is added into what you've already studied from one commentary. More than one commentary. Fifthly, a way to be well prepared: talk about your topic, talk about your text with other people between beginning the preparation and delivering the message. It's funny, when I talk about any passage with somebody else, they always have an angle, they always have an insight, they always have an opinion that I've not considered. So talk about it with other people. I'm preaching on this passage, what do you think of it? I'm preaching on this topic, what do you think of it? You'll find that very helpful to prepare you to deliver for other people. Fifthly. Sixthly, simple but obvious, I guess, but very important, pray through the text or pray about your topic. If you've got a text, pray through it. As I did this morning with Acts 16 verses 1 to 5, which I'll talk more about in a moment, I prayed through it slowly, word by word, phrase by phrase, asking God to give me wisdom. Pray through your text. And number seven, and this is where we're going with all of this, is live your text. Live your topic. This is why you need enough breathing space between the day you're going to deliver the lesson and the preparation phase. You need enough breathing space so that you can actually live what you're going to be talking about. And if you can't live it, there's not much point in trying to talk about it. So preparing well in advance gives you that opportunity to dominate your subject, as Alberto put it. So as an example, let me comment on my next sermon. coming up this coming Sunday. I'm speaking on Acts 16, the first five verses. And a part of today's, and aware this is Tuesday now, yesterday, Monday's prayer time was spent praying through how I might live this passage, which on the face of it is not that obvious. So the passage says this in Acts 16. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. And by the by, if you watch or listen to this between now and Sunday, the 13th of October, please send me your thoughts and insights on the passage. I would very much value that. The churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in the numbers. I need to connect that fact with what's gone before it as to some things created that strengthening of the faith and growing daily in numbers. And that's something I'd love for the Watford Church and in my own life, is to be strengthened in the faith and grow daily in numbers. That would be fantastic. So what lessons are there in verses 1 to 4 as to why that might have happened, as well as, of course, chapters 15 and preceding that? So that's the passage. And I was praying this morning about that. What am I meant to live from this that's going to benefit me and help me grow so that I can then deliver a good message? And I have a number of thoughts, but I'll give you three that at least of the list I have. So this week, and I made this decision on Monday, so I'm working on these all through this week, is number one, how can I live the sermon this week? Number one, do some walking with a disciple younger than me. Not physically younger so much as spiritually younger. Someone younger than me, walking with them, like Paul walks with Timothy or wants to take him along for the journey to walk with him. That working together seemed so important, and indeed it is. How can I walk with somebody else in the Watford Church this week in some way, doing some ministry together in some sense, doing something together that will inspire vision in them for what God can do? And I have some plans. I'm going to pray with somebody this week. I've got some other things on my mind I won't share right now. But I need to think about how I can do some walking together with another younger disciple, like Paul did with Timothy. There's an example for me to imitate, I would say. And that's one thing. Secondly, to consider how I can become more of all things to all men for the specific people God has placed around me. And that comes from Paul's circumcising of Timothy, which helped his evangelistic effectiveness when he went to Jewish areas. And there's a lot more to that than meets the eye, and we'll talk more about that in the sermon rather than now. But that's what I noticed is Timothy was willing to do anything that would make him more useful for God, more effective, more someone who could be used to build up God's kingdom. And I need to think about what is it that I could do that would make me more effective? Are there some ways in which I'm restricting myself from being effective with the people around me, my neighbors, my friends, the people of this lost world who God has placed me near? And am I holding back in any way? Am I stopping getting outside of my comfort zone? I need to think more about that. I haven't nailed that as of the time of recording. I've got some ideas, but I'm thinking about it. And I'd be interested if you have ideas, because I want to try and figure that out between now and Sunday. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is to actively promote unity between congregations such that it will build stronger faith. We see that they're delivering the message from the apostles from the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. And that's Acts 15, which I'll refer back to in the sermon. But the desire and the heart for unity between Gentile and Jewish congregations is something that the message they bring back to the Gentile congregations, largely Gentile congregations, and it delights everybody. And so there's something about communicating. There's something about being one, being unified. There's something about congregations knowing what's going on. There's something about that helps strengthen faith. And so what could I do this week that will promote unity and good communication between different congregations in our fellowships such that we can grow in faith and hopefully be more effective at bringing many people to the Lord? Right, those are my three for this week. If you have any other ideas, let me know. But I'm going to do my best to live those this week so that when I preach it on Sunday, it's not so much that I can say, I've been doing it, you need to do it. It's nothing to do with that. is that this is the effect of the truth and the power and the awesome nature of God's word has had on me this week. These are the benefits I found from doing it. Maybe you can find your own way. You have other things that might come out of this passage for you. Maybe it's just one thing. What's that one thing that if you could imitate that, if you could apply it to your situation, how might God use you? God used Paul and Timothy and others to strengthen faith and so that many people came to the Lord. What could God do in us and through us so that we could see the same thing? That's the general idea. So I'm going to do my best to live it. And as I do that, I believe then the subject, this text, will dominate me. It'll dominate me as I pray about it, as I think about it, and as I apply it and live it. Of course, it'll dominate me. And if it dominates me, then in a sense, I'm dominating my subject. I mean, in a healthy way. And then I can bring it with authenticity and strength and well, power, if that's the right word, to the people that I'll be speaking to on Sunday. That's the idea. So that's what it is this week. Letting your, what did Alberto say? Dominate the subject. Yes. Dominate your subject. If you're a speaker, you're a teacher, let the subject dominate you. And I'd like to know what you think about that. So question for the day really is, what helps you to dominate your subject or your text that you're preaching or teaching on? What helps to make that come alive for you, be real to you, so that you're bringing something that's part of you to the people you're speaking to? Love to know what you think about all that. Well, thank you very much, Alberto. If you've got comments, you've got questions, pass them my way and we'll dig into God's word and see what we can learn together. Please leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. Leave it publicly so that we can all learn from each other, because we learn best when we learn together in community. And if you can think of anyone who might benefit from this recording, pass the link on, click it, send it on, email it on, WhatsApp it on, send it to somebody. Then we can increase the readership or the listenership or the viewership of these. And if you wouldn't mind, don't forget to hit the notification button, the subscribe button. And if you're listening to the podcast, leave us a review. 5 stars are preferable, please, if you don't mind. That'd be fantastic. And until the next time, I hope that between now and that next time, you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.